The way to take refuge, to go for refuge, can be informal. The outer forms, the recitations, are simply a shortcut for those who have gone the informal way many times and they don't want to use many concepts. So they say Namo Buddha, Namo Dhamma, Namo Sangha. It's a shortcut. But if I take you a little bit longer way, slightly longer only, slightly, then as I sit down here, I see the beauty of the Dharma, the incredible beauty of, how to say, of the words, of the transmission, and then the beauty of that liberation which they point to, these words, these images. And I know from my experience and understanding, this is already going for refuge in the Dharma, to see its beauty. I was sitting down and sentences from a sadhana came to my mind. Oh, beautiful, holy Dharma, it is improper to doubt it, and so on. Yes, it's like a recitation. But then I contemplated for a moment, what does it mean? And I always contemplate, what does it mean? There's the beauty, there is again the wonder, the amazement. Oh, that would be my eighth parameter. You know, that would be the next one we would declare to be a transcendent quality. And then the taste of what is the transmission of Dharma beyond the words. And as we taste that, as we intuitively taste it, we are already in it. And then if you want to make it a little bit more complete, if there is any need for that, how beautiful the Buddha, the beauty, not of that man, yes, very good, no one knows him, yes, no one has seen him. He is depicted with all this bluish hair on his head, but he was running around shaven all the time. He didn't even wear hair. We have an image of him, which is actually the beauty of connecting to that which might go back to a man who has left those traces. Yeah, maybe these are the traces of Siddhartha. Maybe these are the traces of this Gautama Buddha. Maybe. But actually, who cares? It's the beauty of the Buddha in the sense of the beauty of those qualities that are communicated through the example, through those texts which describe his questions and answers. The beauty of the lineage of those who have followed in his footsteps. And then we are with the beauty of the Sangha. The beauty of those who really live in friendship with all beings and who care to share the Dharma, to share those qualities, to share that liberating understanding. So, I hope I could take you in this informal way a little bit into the refuge. I do have the wish that you take that home with you. I would really love it if you find your formal and your informal ways to open your practice by seeing what is meant by the three jewels and being able to take that as your inner reference, your guidance, in a non-sectarian way. Means we are not becoming a partisan of Buddhism. That's not what it is about. It is, that's what I mean by not adhering to words and concepts, but to what is behind. And as I sat down, I thought, yes, the time has come to talk to you a little bit because of preparing the next days, a little bit about the meaning of life, which is a super topic, huh? Super, super topic. Haven't we been talking about it all along? Haven't we already dealt with it sufficiently? Yes? Look, I've been looking into your eyes so often, all the eyes I could look into, I was looking into. And I know you're going in so many diverse situations. Yes. Some are going into self-retreat, some are working with people in terrible mental states, some are going with their families, some have four jobs and take care of a son, and then some. Now, all of this is happening. Some are going to teach the next retreat, for example. And all these different states. Now, what is the common denominator for all of us when we leave from here? What is the one thing that will make sense to everybody? There is one. It's to see the meaning of what we are doing. The meaning, to give meaning to what we are living. Now you can imagine that many people have tried to talk with me about the meaning of life, and some are desperate of having lost it, and some never found it, and there is a very simple answer. We give meaning to life. Don't try to find it. Yes? Every wise person knows that. To look for meaning in life, where do we look? Do we look into the cruel aspect of life? Or we look at the beautiful aspect of life? Do we play the two against each other? Does life have a meaning? We can search long. We can ask Mother Nature whether there is a meaning to all of that which is happening. We can ask humanity. We can ask God. I tell you, there's a shorter way than searching and searching and being disappointed by contradicting answers. Give meaning to your life. Do it yourself. Give that meaning to your life that you find the most inspiring. We cannot change our lives so much. We cannot change this body. It's the body we have been born in. We cannot change our DNA. That's the genes we are born with. We cannot change so many things, but we can give meaning to all of that which we cannot change, and to all of that which we can change. And it can be the same meaning. To turn it, to use it as a source of inspiration. And you tell yourself, you see for yourself, what is inspiring. It's not up to me to tell you. I gave you a little idea about this beautiful holy Dharma, you know, and the rest. But this is just, again, it's just a big word. Because Dharma doesn't only mean teaching, Dharma means qualities. And which qualities are really the ones that you wish to live in your life? I will make a little jump towards the end of our life, when we leave this body. But the time will come. Nobody knows when. Hopefully we all reach home safely when we leave here tomorrow. Hopefully. Maybe it's already the time to leave this body. Who knows? But when the time is that we will go beyond, as there are some of us, our friends, now in the process of dying due to different, you know, sickness, illness, wounded, and so on. And many people are dying constantly. Then, how to die without regret? And the simple answer is, a person who has lived that which is truly inspiring to him or her will never have regret. So let's not be like, you know, say these are the qualities we want to live, and what we actually live is just a little bit touching on those qualities, but mostly to the side of it. Then the feeling is of partially missing out in life, a partial regret for life, which is a very common situation for people. Yes, to some extent my life resembles me, but then there is so much which does not resemble me, right? It is, and why? And the answer is not because what we do there is not me, it is more how we do it. Okay, we haven't been able to give meaning to that, or if we cannot give meaning to that, we have not been able to change it. So that it corresponds really with the qualities that we wish to live. So if you become pregnant, for example, or you also, as a man, you become a father, mother as a child. Okay, there's nothing to discuss about that. Then this needs to be combined with those inspiring qualities that we need to, that we wish to live in this life. That is exactly what we are going to do. If you go to school and you teach, if you go, unfortunately, to the military or wherever you go, somewhere where you might not even want to be. Maybe you have to work as a cook in McDonald's or something, you know? Yes, then, yes, could be amazing. Could be amazing if we manage to take that into practice. If we manage to live those qualities in that situation. I've been working with prison guards, people working as the guardians of the prison. But I'm also in deep contact with someone living lifelong sentence in prison, being the one that is guarded. They can all practice the Dharma. The way is only how to do that. And this now you will, if you can take this as your daily practice, you think often that your daily practice needs to be maybe to calm your mind and to develop insight. I agree, that's very important. but it is more important to give meaning to your life. When that is there, then the practice of shamatha and vipassana will follow. Give meaning, that is the thing that will really, and if, of course, a calm, peaceful mind and insight are the qualities you want to live, then you're very much in the area of what needs to be done in your practice. But first, when you go now into your situations at home, then the most important is when you look forward, because you don't apply the six dharmas of Tilopa at that point. You look, you anticipate the future. This is part of it. You anticipate what will be coming up during the day for you. And already in your meditation, contemplation of the morning, you see yourself living the qualities of Dharma, that which is most inspiring to you, in those situations that are pretty sure to come up for you. So you prepare yourselves. You open the path. You see exactly how you will be cleaning up the mess of others. And you do it with the inner quality that you wish to live there. You see how you have to maybe hire or fire somebody. Very unpleasant things. You will do it with the qualities that you wish to live. You will probably be listening to the news or seeing the news, and you will do it with the attitude that you want to manifest, that you want to live. You don't go like someone blown by the winds of karmic reactions. You prepare yourselves that whatever you do, and of course, in the beginning, all of that is too much. You prepare just one situation, and then you try and you prepare the next situation. Like you will stand, no, you have vacation now, but then if you prepare like standing in front of one of your classes, not of all of them, and you, because maybe they are difficult, and then you will prepare yourself about how doing that. And then since you do it every day, you begin to get a feeling of how you live the various situations in your life which repeat. And you also begin to prepare for the unforeseen. You know, you open up to all of that, you welcome it, and you begin to feel the inner attitude with which you want to be present in that situation. And this is how you really actively then shape your life. You feel first that which you want to live. And of course, we could do an exercise about that, but actually it means pretty much like taking a notebook, you know, and contemplating and writing down what is most important to you. And it's very good, instead of using nouns, to use adjectives or adverbs. They are more dynamic, like joyful instead of joy, or simple instead of simplicity, or authentic instead of authenticity. Always the adjective or the adverb is more speaking. We can see ourselves more in it. It is not a program of how we need to become. It's more a quality that we want to discover. So you take time. You write down those which come up first. And it might take a few days. You come back again and again to, you know, how you want to look back on your life in order not to have regret and to be really thankful for this life. Like, oh, yes, when I die, I would like to look back and have lived this life with a lot of love. Yes? Loving. Or a good sense of humor. Yeah, in this sense, lightness. Humorous. Yeah, like you think in your own ways. You don't only use the books for, you know, the words from the Dharma books. This is, we have the whole panorama of possibilities. Some of you come up with creative, others they will say serene. And then one person says down to earth. You know what you mean with that. I had one person, when we were doing this exercise, she wrote down wild. She wanted to be wild. She knew exactly what that meant. And for her, it was much better than to say freedom. Freedom, to be free didn't mean the main thing. Wild had a much stronger power. And it wasn't a wild, respectless, you know, wild. It was, she knew exactly. Oh, for me, long time it was dancing. Yeah? And maybe an image comes. An image where you see yourself living those qualities. An image where you, which kind of embodies a lot of those qualities. So for me, for example, I didn't have such an easy childhood. So for a long time, my guiding image was seeing me as a boy in the sun, running across a green meadow, jumping, light, you know, like a little bit like dancing, but more this running style, jumping. And that was, for me, so expressive. If you try to put that into words, it's a little bit clumsy, but the image talks to you. And then another image, which was very important, just to give you ideas where you can look. Another image was that I was an animal. You know, this animal living in the mountains, with these horns, yes, which go like this. Mouflon in French, I don't know what is the, huh? Yeah, something like this. And I've met them, and they sit on the top of the rocks in the mountains. And they just sitting, I don't know what they're doing, but I can really feel that this is how I want to be, sitting there quietly up in the wilderness and looking down, you know, seeing all the business down below, not being touched by it. You know, another image like this. So, just to give you ideas, I could go on and on, but I don't want to fill your head with my stories. But the thing is, be creative about how you describe to yourself what is the meaning of your life. And then see how you can live that daily. Make your life this by daily taking care that it goes in that direction, that there is a little bit more of that. A little bit more. Another image for me was the lion's roar. The lion's roar. That was at the time when I was a student and I was working in the psychosomatic clinic, and they did this scream therapy, you know. Oh, incredible. Yes, but not the Janov style, but the, what was it, Kestrel style, what is it? And this hugging type, the bonding type. And I discovered my, you know, my fearful self discovered the power of the roar. And it became wonderful, liberating for me. So if I think about it now, of course, I don't have to practice the lion's roar anymore. But it has been there for a while. And that's why I tell you, those images, they don't have to be good for all life. They're good for this phase in life. And they will change. They will change by themselves. They will fall away when they're not needed anymore. And if I listen to my own frail voice when I sing with you, the Om Mani Padme Hum, then I say, oh yeah, this guy is getting old. There's no lion's roar there anymore. But it's fine. I listen to my own sensitivity. And maybe to be sensitive, to be in resonance is one of the qualities I like to live. You know, it's like, You find out for yourself, and then you have a list of these qualities in your notebook, and then you underline the three most important ones, because a long list is too much. You look at them and you see which ones really speak to you most, and you underline them, and you try to remember them. And if something is missing, you add. Or if something is not working, you change. But like this, instead of having the triple refuge every day, Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha, which is also three qualities, you have your triple quality refuge every day, which is like guiding stars in your day to remember. Yes. Okay. So that was my little teaching about the meaning of life. Stretch your legs before we meditate a little bit. I'm a little bit in a playful mood. Okay. When I thought just now, when I was drinking, what is the, I was feeling like, what's the next meditation instruction? I was asking you inwardly, ready? Steady? Go! And there's nowhere to go! Where to run to? Nowhere to run. Okay. Okay, let's sit in that. I received two notes asking that, however, I know that some of you just don't like it so much. Some like, some don't. And what to do? What to do? You know, singing or liturgy or, you know, this ritual, you know, I wake up in the morning listening to a, how do you pronounce it, muezzin? Soft, muezzin, soft pronunciation, muezzin. And you know, yes, and then I, you know, it's time to get up, it's fine, he tells me it's good, but I know it's just a recording, I guess he's not up yet. But I just come from Greece, and that was the Orthodox chant, and also mostly recordings, you know, and they're not so different. The sound, you know, is very, very nice somehow, very nice. And then I, of course, have my Christian upbringing, then I know those songs and chants, and then the Tibetans are chanting along, and then I've been circumambulating stupas with the Theravadin monks, chanting the Heart Sutra, not the Heart Sutra, the Metta Sutra, and, you know, wherever you go, people are chanting. A part of the population all over the world loves chanting, and others, they love to be silent more of the time. And most important is that for many of us with this typical upbringing, for us, whatever is chanting, it sounds like manipulation. There is a flair of being pulled into something and not being able to avoid it. Yes? And again, what to do? It's still beautiful, and there's so much, it's liberating the heart, you know, it's like bringing the energies to flow. So we could chant in a liberating way without having to do it ever again. You know, no commitment. We only do it when we like it. No commitment. It's like with the chanting of the refuge, you know, this Namo Buddha, Namo Dhamma is just the shortest one. But if we are always doing it freely, when the time feels right, you see, sometimes I've been getting up even in the evening last session. I didn't do a dedication with you except be happy or sleep well. But the dedication was there in my mind, but just not necessary to follow a ritual. Although a ritual is very comforting, it's very, gives a frame. But it's not the Buddhist path really to adhere to rituals, although they give this nice frame. So if we do it, we do it because we want to do it. So I will chant Om Mani Padme Hum with you because we have not been chanting that very much. But those who wish to relax in silence, please think that no one is noticing that you are not chanting. Or you can even already go out. It's very fine. It's very fine. Yes, it's absolutely very fine. I've been sitting, you know, I had three girlfriends, one after the other. The third one became my wife. They were all practicing Tibetan Buddhism, all three of them. And I was into Vipassana, into silence. So you don't believe how many chantings I was sitting through without participating. They were so cool, Sababa. They were so cool to let me do. I was sitting there. And today, sometimes I chant. So let's do it. Those who like. Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Mani. Mane bhe mo.